Perfect. Now I have your number. Thanks.
Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
I'm all right, man. Yeah. I'm ready to do the things, do the talks.
Sweet.
Yeah. You good out there in Ukraine? How's bowling?
Bowling was fun. I crushed the competition with my 143, I think. So.
Oh, 143. Watch out.
Look out. A few spares, a couple strikes.
I was thinking about bowling recently because, like, my girlfriend and I were having some, like, difficulties since we last talked. And one of the things that came up was just the non-monogamous rules. And, you know, I have been trying to – she's newer to all this. So I've been trying to set up some kind of structure to the relationship just to have something in place. And every time I would try to suggest, like, hey, maybe we should – you know, what would feel good for you? And she was like, I don't know what rule I need yet. And I'm like, yeah, but let's set something up. Cause she's like, oh, I think I'll be able to figure it out when I feel bad about something. I'm like, no, because then what happens is when you feel rough, it's probably going to be like all the way out over here. If we set something up, then we can always like tighten or loosen it up. Right. But at least it's like bouncing within here. It's like bumpers at the bowling alley. That's what I was thinking of. Like set up some bumpers. And if we need less bumpers, take away some bumpers. If we need even tighter bumpers, set up tighter bumpers. But let's not do nothing because then, you know, gutter balls will fucking suck.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor. I like the
bowling's been on my mind. Thank you.
Well, it's good to have you back on the show, man.
Happy to be back, sir. With all the leverage, do you have a name for your listeners? Like I have fan whores and whoreheads. Do you have, are there the like leveragers or the levies? The levies.
That's much cooler than the I guess you could call it the levies. I like the man whores are a lot cooler than the leveragers. I was thinking about actually changing the podcast name. You might get a kick out of this. One guy suggested calling it the anti-pickup artist podcast because I can't stand pickup artists. But at the end of the day, most of the people listening to this show are coming for, you know, advice on how to meet women.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of a funny twist.
If it's not taken, I like the anti pickup artist podcast. Boom. I know exactly what it is. Right. And it's not too wordy. And it has the SEO of pickup artist in there. I like it as is. Throw a subtitle on if you want to. But I think anti pickup artist podcast is wonderful. As long as it's not taken. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to check. But I thought it was pretty good too. So if you guys are listening and you have feedback, just you know, drop me a line and I'd love to hear it. So
I keep forgetting that we're recording. I was just like, oh, what's up with Robbie?
No, man. I like I was telling you before you started recording, I love the background. I love the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. This is what a sex worker looks like, right?
I'm exactly what you picture when you think sex workers. Am I wrong?
I mean, you are the hottest thing on OnlyFans. So
I fucking wish. I just posted a video so disgusting and filthy that I have overpriced it on purpose because I'm like, I don't want a lot of people to unlock this. I would rather like two or three people own this video than like a bunch of people for less. Cause like, man, my asshole got a lot of action in it. And I'm like, I still want to get cast in something one day. And I don't know if I need that one like lingering around. I feel like people could forgive a lot, but like an anal sensual domination video might be a little too porny for Disney. So like I'm selling it for $200 in the DMs. And like, if you got 200, you can see 20 minutes of me. After that, I'm good. You know, like this is not a $50 video.
Wait, the internet cut out exactly when you said you can see. Or maybe we should leave it up to.
For $200, you can see blank. No, it's like my this like really hot femme person. Angel Amore. They've been on my podcast, total hottie, really fun guest. And we did a couple scenes together. One was like a pussy eating scene. So I have those pinned on my page and they're much more reasonably priced. But the other one was a sensual domination video. So like they tied my hands behind my back and they spanked my ass and then they ate my ass and then they fingered my ass. And then they took a variety of sex toys and played with my ass with that. And I was like, yeah, this feels like a $200 video.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like a good time. So, I mean, if you can get paid $200 and get all that action, that's, I mean, who's better than you?
The one $200 video I did get, I did sell a $200 video. Somebody requested a custom. He wanted me to blow up and pop balloons in my underwear for like 20 minutes.
Easiest $200 ever, right?
Yeah, man. And at the end, I just had to like jerk off and come on one of the balloons. But like, that's easy. Yeah. Really, the more difficult part was finding balloons.
Right.
luckily, I might be one of the few people who are like, I one of my dear friends is a professional balloon artist. So she had a plethora. She went viral on Reddit. She made a Game of Thrones, like the throne from Game of Thrones with balloons. And it was like weight bearing. Like her boyfriend like was sitting on this balloon throne. And like, wow. It went viral on Reddit, right? So I was like, you know what? Atrina's got some spare balloons. Let's get this lunar fetishist his content.
That's some awesome content. So the OnlyFans is rocking and rolling. By the way, for people listening, drop your handle on there.
No, I am on OnlyFans at Call Me Billy. OnlyFans.com/CallMeBilly. It's free to follow. And then, you know, there's a lot of fun to unlock there within your budget.
Because, you know, someone might be listening and they just have to get their hands on that.
Hey, yeah, I got $9 videos. I got $100 videos. I got something for a little bit of everybody. And then some like free lewds I posted. Actually, like what I'm about to be posting is I just did some photo sets in the week of Christmas. Three different guys named Joe bought me jock straps from OnlyFans. So like in 1 week, I got like six jock straps from these three guys as gifts. And then, so I started taking pictures of them.
One, unfortunately, I had to buy one for hockey. And,
oh, you were buying it for like practical sports purposes.
Right.
Meanwhile, like the gays love a good jock strap, but it really does look good. Yeah. Like it gives a little lift, but just in general, like it's different colors and styles. And, you know, I took the photos and I was looking at them like, I look hot in a jock strap. It's incredible. I highly recommend you guys. So like, if you have like a hairy chest and some facial hair, like the juxtaposition of wearing something that looks kind of lacy or lingerie esque, like a jock strap.
Yeah.
Pushed against like all this like masculine features like chest hair and a beard and whatnot. It's a hot look. Like the gays loved it. And then, you know what? A lot of the ladies loved the look too. I know we don't talk about like men's lingerie very often. This actually might segue into the sex party topic nicely, but like we don't talk about like men and lingerie often, especially if we're talking about like straight men or men who like fuck women. I don't think we talk about lingerie and there aren't a lot of options. Like most of the options are tiny little skinny little, you know, things like banana hammocks.
Feminine looking things.
Yeah. I'm a thick slice of meat. I don't normally think to wear something tiny, but that the jock straps, body stockings, and there are some men's lingerie things out there that are like more, you know, for a masculine body. And I got to tell you, it makes you look like you're trying so hard to look hot. But really all you did was put on one piece of clothing, piece of clothing, a little bit of glitter. And it's like, look how hard, look at that outfit he made. I'm like, I just put one thing on. I'm lazy.
I'm surprised. I've never seen that at Burning Man either.
What are you talking about Burning Man? I feel like the dude bodies are all sorts of exposed and glittered up at Burning Man. No.
Yeah. But I've never seen a jock strap being worn there.
Ah, interesting.
I mean, I was there 2 years and I saw everything, but never a jock strap. So new niche costume market for sure.
Yeah.
Male lingerie, as you said.
Yeah. And I think it's something that, you know, it's a little bit of effort that goes like a really sexily long way. Cause like, I don't even wear underwear. I've been a commando guy since 2012. And now like I have a couple things in the drawer that if I want to like surprise a woman or if I want to look good at a sex party, especially if the theme is something that I like can't handle, you know, I put on something like that, put on maybe a little bit of eyeliner. And now I look like I put in effort as opposed to being just like another dude at the sex party trying to fuck these chicks. Instead, now I look like someone who's also having fun and embracing the theme and embracing the night. And it makes you look more confident too.
Yeah. That's the worst, to be one of those guys at the sex party, you know, creepily lurking
wearing around. Khakis. Right. You ever see the guy at the orgy in khakis? You're like, bro, try a little bit.
Yeah. Usually they do some sort of costume theme or some sort of theme. Right. So you avoid that, but, you know, speaking of sex parties, we talked about, we brushed on that a little bit in the last episode, but we didn't get to go in it as much. So it's been a minute since I was, you know, heavy into the sex party scene. I was basically like from maybe 2013 to like 2016. That was kind of like the focal point of my sexual life. I was like, you know, I had a girlfriend. And we were going to sex parties together and then we broke up and then I was taking random other girls and I had another like three-way relationship, like two girlfriends. And then I was taking them to sex parties, but it was fun to say the least. Definitely a lot of drama as well. And there's some Burning Man sex parties mixed in there too. Some orgy tents, orgy domes, whatever they call it. But I'd love to hear your experience because you don't talk to people very often that have like, you know, actually been in this world. And, you know, understand it. So how did you find your way into the sex party scene?
Well, it all started on Craigslist, as I feel like many a sex party journey begins. I went to college in New York City. I went to NYU. I keep forgetting that we're doing video. So I'm a podcast guy where like, who doesn't do video. So when I like scratch my nose, I'm like, no one's going to fucking see that. Oops. Okay.
I think most people listen to this anyways, but if you do want to watch,
you want to watch me scratch my nose, show up to the YouTube, everybody. So in college, I went to NYU and Craigslist was very abundant here in New York City. You had a lot of posts going on. And senior year, I answered an ad for a bukkake. And it was wonderful. It was a really nice bukkake. It was just a lady and her fella, and she wanted to suck a bunch of dicks and have people come on her. Great. In fact, when I showed up, I could even tell more so that it was for her because one, it was her place. Like we went to, you know, I show up, it's in somewhere in Brooklyn. It's this beautiful brownstone, you know, two or three stories. It's all hers. She owns it. And it was like Christmas time, I believe.
Sorry.
And, you know, before we got started, we did the boundaries talks and like what they wanted us to do and everything. And before we got started, she said, there's like five of us there. And she says, by the way, if y'all don't mind for me, would you all mind if I can get like a picture with all the cocks under the Christmas tree? You know, just for me. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, this is clearly she's the one who wants this to happen because why would she request such a thing? So that was cool. And we, you know, she sucked the dicks. It was pleasant. She sucked mine first, which felt like an honor. She was like looking around in a circle. She's like on her knees and she's looking around. Trying to be like, who do I suck first? And then she kind of looks at me, and I was 21 years old at the time. I was the baby of the group, and she's like, something about being like young, dumb, and full of cum. And then and I was like, yeah, this is great. It was also like my first time, like, you know, engaging in sex with other men around, right? So we, you know, sucked the dicks. We came on her, beautiful, fun time. And then I started realizing, okay, so this is something I could have fun doing, if. Jeez. I realized in college, like if I am comfortable with another dick around or more dicks around, I increase my chance of getting my dick sucked by virtue of I can answer more ads, right? Because I can answer the MF for M. I can answer the MF for MM or the F for MM ones. So like, cool. There's more posts I can answer. If I answer more posts, there's a better chance I can get my dick sucked. So long as I'm okay and don't freak out about the other penises in my proximity. Easy enough. And then I answered an ad for bukkake after I graduated. And this guy turns out he runs like bukkakes on the regular. in New York City. He used to call it the Bukkake Social Club. Very pinky up of him.
Yes, it is. Martini Bukkake Fest.
Yes, yes. Are you attending the next Bukkake for the Bukkake Social Club? Oh, you weren't invited? That's such a shame. And I, he would reinvite me to them. And I didn't even know there was a cover charge. I was 22 years old. I would not sign up for a cover charge Bukkake. And it turned out like he took a liking to me. So when he would go around the room, he was like, okay, everyone, just introduce yourself and give me your donation. And I'm freaking out. Like, I didn't know there was a donation. What? Right. He would go around the room and everyone would do that. And then you get to me and he's like, and Billy, you already took care of that. Great. And I'm like, yeah, totally. Hi, everybody. And then you just keep going. I was like, oh, Billy's getting special treatment there. So the Bukkakes were fun. You know, again, just like these like gangbangs, Bukkakes, these women who were just like really excited. They had like a lust and thirst in their eyes to just like be drenched in cum or to get fucked silly by a large group of men or whatever. So this guy, Jefferson, and he's been on my podcast. I think he's like episode 15 or 16 of the Man Whore podcast. And Jefferson, he invites me to his birthday orgy. But his birthday orgy is being hosted at a venue called Hacienda. And Hacienda, they throw regular sex parties or whatnot. So he invites me to this Hacienda birthday orgy. And I RSVP and I wake up that morning and I was sick. And this is way, you know, this is 9 years ago, 10 years ago. This is pre-COVID. This is, I chose to stay home and not be an asshole and bring my cold to the orgy. I denied myself sex for the health of other people. I know it's a novel idea to everybody, but sometimes we can be selfless. You know, as Jefferson has said, there's always another Bukkake. Don't panic. It's the best way to tackle FOMO. I have repurposed that thing he said to me when I was 22, 23. I have repurposed that rest of my life. There's always another Bukkake.
Always another Bukkake.
Right? So I didn't end up going to his birthday orgy, but my RSVP did get me on Hacienda's email list. Okay. Because Jefferson was vouching for me. And then later that year, I finally attended my first sex party and we're like proper sex party. And it was really cool. I went with an old ex of mine, someone who I'd actually reconnected with on the podcast. I interviewed her. And then after the interview, we ended up fucking. And then we started fucking a little more regularly again. And I was like, hey, do you want to go to the sex party with me? And she's like, sure. So yeah, that's how I started going was I answered an ad for a Bukkake, and one thing led to another, and I was invited to this beautiful, sex-positive, consent-driven, queer-inclusive, just artsy Bushwick community. You know, Hacienda is not just I do not work for Hacienda. I am not formally endorsed by Hacienda. Just I have a passion for this community that I'm in. It's just a wonderful community of people. It's not just about the sex party. It's not just about fucking. It's like a cool house party where sex also, like, you know, you go to a house party and sex sometimes happens in like a side room, like kind of no one knows, but we all kind of know, hey, Jim and Samantha went into the bathroom. They've been in there for a while.
Right.
It's like that, but you could fuck out in the open and you can still fuck in the bathroom.
Yeah.
That's right, like you can fuck in the bathroom, but you could also fuck in front of us.
Totally, that was kind of the coolest thing for me because, you know, I had certainly, like you said, been to a million of those house parties where people have, you know, randomly started fucking in the other rooms, and you know, sometimes you even go in there and you try to watch them or whatever, and you know, maybe like I had that. I think that was like the first sort of like group sex I ever saw was. I don't know when it was, but just
people. You watching a buddy at a house party, like, you know.
Yeah, basically, banging a like bedroom. a bunch of people. They kind of like invited people to watch. And it, you know, one thing led to another. So, but when I attended the first sex party I went to, was, you know, back in LA, it was I was like, wow, this is cool because like you meet people, you could just fuck them here, and yeah. Everyone else wants to watch. You know, like if I went with my girlfriend at the time and. you know, our, we had sex in like a hallway full of mirrors, and there were just people like walking back and forth. And, you know, one guy like dangled his dick in front of her, and she was kind of like turning away. It wasn't as consent driven as your party sounds like, or Hacienda. This was more of just like a house party that was definitely not well enough. You know, the rules weren't very strict, and they needed to be, which sounds, and that's a big part of sex parties, you know, being good or not, or having people, you know, wanting to come back. So my question about Hacienda and the parties you've gone to, what do they do about controlling the ratio? What do they do about consent? What do they do about the rules beforehand? Because there was definitely, like, this was in like 2013, and many parties I went to after that, there was definitely more sort of house rules, and there's more talk about it, but that was always one of the issues that a lot of the girls would kind of, you know, find in these parties. Yeah. There'd be guys running around just like whipping out their dick, kind of, you know, doing those sorts of things that turn people off. And then obviously you get that shitty situation.
Yeah. And it's interesting you say when that was happening, because I do think, like, because I, you know, you're only a little bit older than me, I think. And it was like, as we were in college or coming out of college, the concept of consent culture was just really starting to get up there. I mean, that was really when they were starting to transition. I remember when I was graduating in 2011, there did start to be this transition out of no means no to yes means yes. Don't do shit to her until she says no, like try to get the yes, right. You know, like, and it can be sexy. It doesn't have to be like, do you mind if maybe I tweak your nipple, my ma'am? It's like, no, they're like really sexy ways to ask to kiss someone. You know, there's really put my hand here, you know, like there's sexy ways to get consent. Like you don't have to just creepily like keep pushing it until you hit the no, because great. Once you hit that no spot, well, now you've like made someone probably uncomfortable. Right. We could also just like ask for it. So I think there was also a cultural shift around there. You said like 2013, then they started implementing rules and being stricter. And I think that's a cultural thing that was going down. So let me start with the ratio question. One, even at like Hacienda is more of like a queer informed, queer inclusive party. So it doesn't matter what the ratio is, because I mean, like I identify as a straight dude. It doesn't matter to me, the ratio. Right. But when it's a lot of queer people, like it doesn't matter. Cause like people who are into all sorts of bits and parts and genders and body, doesn't matter. Like you don't need to care about that. At Hacienda, everyone pays the same price. It doesn't matter. Like it's not men pay this, couples pay this, women are free. I don't go to those parties because I think if there is a tiered pricing system based on gender, where also, which inherently acknowledges a gender binary that like I don't personally buy into as much. So as soon as you have that, I feel like you're going to get guys with entitlement attitudes right off the bat, because they know that they paid more. They probably paid a lot. You know, they might pay $200 and the women paid 50, right? And they know that. And so there can automatically be this idea of, one, I paid $200. I got to get my money's worth. Then the two is almost, there can be this resentment of like, well, these women, they got in for cheaper, so they should be fucking us because we paid more, anything like that. So I don't go to parties like that. That is a big red flag for me. I understand they're like trying to control a ratio, but I don't think it's necessary to control it. And if you're building a community, I think it works itself out, especially if like you're a place that's safe for like queer people to play and explore, then it really doesn't matter. Now, two, even at like a mostly hetero, maybe swinger party, you need more dicks. Why? The dicks run out of juice and need the recharge. need readily available cocks that like you might be interested in. So that way it's like, if you've just fucked your husband twice and he might even be able to go for round three, but it's going to be at least an hour or so. Gosh, wouldn't it be nice if there were enough extra dicks around that you could be like, oh, I really need one in me. Well, let's go troll around and see who looks horny and available. So like, I'm not into this let's control the ratio thing on a big party scale. Depending on what you're putting together, if it's a smaller party, if you're getting a hotel room and having some friends over, I understand based on what people want and are looking for. But like, yeah, Hacienda doesn't try to control the ratio. Everyone pays the same price. They may pay different prices. Like there's a member rate and a non-member rate. I remember in the early days of Hacienda, the tickets were cheaper the earlier you bought them, but never based on gender or couples or whatever. Also because, hey, poly people, well, if it's a couples rate, what do you do when they got a triad? Or if you have like a kind of a four-way cluster going on. So they don't do that. What do they do about rules and consent culture? That's really important. I think a sign of a good party, and by good party, I mean also a safe party. So the signs of a safe and good party are going to be if they mention consent before you ask about it, mm-hmm. right? So Hacienda has a mandatory orientation for newbies. So if you're new to the party, or if you're bringing someone new to the party, because this it's a referral system, you have to be referred and vouched for and everything, or you have to be the guest of somebody to be guests of a member. So you have to go to this workshop beforehand, and they do a whole thing. It's fun, and it sets a good, fun, flirty vibe, and they do some activities to like loosen people up, also to get them practicing saying no. Yeah, icebreakers like. You know, they'll
and
be
this
like,
this is when you go the first time, like they take you into this, like,
you have to go early. Area. You have to go at 9:30 before doors open at 10. But if you're new, you have to go at 9:30. It's really important to be on time. Cause like you have to go to this. You're not allowed in the party if you have not sat through at least one of these consent workshops.
That's great. And
yeah. It's about a half hour. They do things like, go up to somebody and ask them for something. And the other person's going to say no. And usually you'll do something ridiculous. Be like, hi, I'm Billy. Could I have your social security number? And then they will practice saying, no, thank you. Mm-hmm. That because they teach that like rejection is not a bad thing. Rejection is someone saying no is them taking care of themselves. You don't want someone to do something with you that they don't want to do. So if you ask them to suck your cock and they say no, thank you, or not right now, or maybe later, like that should be, you should say thank you, because you would hate for them to suck your cock if they didn't want to.
Course.
That's what happens when we decenter ourselves and our horny dicks in between our legs, and we actually think about the other person.
Right.
So, yeah, you have to sit through that whole workshop, and they lay out all the rules and they talk about safer sex practices. And if you're bringing someone new, you have to sit through it again. So I frequently end up sitting through a few of these when I bring, you know, new dates to the party. They also have little things posted all over the place that just like remind some of the basic rules. And then they also have a guardian system. And that's something that's been like catching on at various parties that I think is great, where if it's a big enough party, the organizers will have people who maybe take shifts or it's their turn that night, but they wear like an armband. And if you have a problem, if someone's making you uncomfortable, or if you're just feeling nervous and don't really know what to do, you can go just talk to this person. That person is going to socialize with you if you're feeling anxious, or they will handle an issue if there is an issue. That person's there to help you. And, you know, so Hacienda has them in shifts and there's a few of them throughout the night. And that's another way you like kind of make a safe environment. And here's the thing, and it goes back to the ratio question. When you make a safe, fun party, marginalized people who tend to be at risk for sexual assault, which happens to highly include women, men can be victims of sexual assault, but not nearly at the rates that women. Cool. So women can, when they see that it's a safe and fun party, tend to want to go to it. As you've expressed, when they go to that party where the guy's just like waving dicks in front of them and going, right? They tend to not want to go back.
Right.
So you got to set up a safe and fun and consent-based party for people, including these women that guys seem so obsessed with making sure there's enough of them, but they don't seem obsessed with making a party that they would want to go to.
Right.
You know, the question of like, how do you get enough chicks is inherently thinking about the dudes who fuck women before it's thinking about anyone else. And the party's not for just the dudes who fuck women. The party should be for everyone.
Yeah, I think the parties that I originally were attending were run by, I guess, you know, the party is always a reflection of the person running it, right? Mm, This was run by a guy, I think his name was Peter, and his goal was to like fuck young chicks and to like, you know, so it was pretty obvious kind of what the the ratio was, the shit was going on. And the whole vibe was very much You know, couples had one price. For guys to go solo, it was like outrageously expensive.
Right.
Women who they called unicorns could go for free. And then there was like a mixture of like prostitutes there at some of them. So it was,
and you have to invite them because not enough, like, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with sex workers going to parties or working a party. If people know that there are sex workers, I think that's fine. If the attendees know, hey, if you're striking out, there will be some women there who like would love to make an arrangement with you. But generally, like a lot of guys end up having to invite, you know, escort friends to like be at the party to like act as fillers, because the women who don't escort don't feel safe at your party. And that's the, instead of trying to fill it with more escort women, how about just make a party that's dope and safe?
Yeah. There was, have you heard of Sanctum? That was,
I've heard of it. I'm not familiar, but I think it's like a very lofty kind of, I think it's like an expensive party.
Yeah. This was, I went to one of like the very first few that they had. And then he started selling like $150,000 memberships and crazy shit like that. But the guy running it basically just wanted to bang my girlfriend. So he was like, you guys can come. You know, he was, it's like, usually it's like $5,000 or $10,000, but like, you know, just pay $200 and you guys can come. And like the first thing he did when we got there, he like shook my hand and he's like, I'll be right back. And he like took my girlfriend up to some room.
What? Just,
yeah.
How'd your girlfriend feel?
Well, she, like, we had been to so many sex parties and she was like a pro at handling those sorts of things. So like, she was like, okay, sure. And like, I kind of winked at her and just went off and like, you know, did my own thing. And then she came back later and she was like, look, I have $400 and I didn't even do anything. And I'm like, good job, baby. We pocketed the money and that paid for the party plus some. But she had like a PhD in like maneuvering around creepy guys trying to like deal with her. She was like a bottle service cocktail waitress from San Francisco.
She knows that game. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, but yeah, I heard later on that he like raised the rates of these parties and, but there were tons of escorts there. There was all sorts of like interesting stuff. It was definitely one of the more, it was more like the Eyes Wide Shut sort of vibe. Than the other sex parties I'd been to, which were more sort of like coupley, less escorts, more wholesome, I guess you could say, from a sex party angle. Wow. But I'd been there was one place that sounds similar to Hacienda. I forget what it's called, but it's in LA. And that was more of a, you know, it's like I think you need an invite to go there, but it's like a nightclub. That's also, well, it's a, you know, a sex party place.
The organizers have an arrangement with the business to have maybe some access to a space or something.
Well, it's just more like business-like. It's not like a private party. It's like a constant venue that's always for sex parties, which kind of sounds like Hacienda maybe. But you know, they've got specific rooms set up and like, they've got one room where it was like, you know, anything goes, like a buy room or a, you know, if you go into that room, you know, you're signing up for XYZ versus there's like a hetero room,
a where kink you know, room, maybe.
Yeah.
Like Hacienda, sometimes they do at the last party they had at the top floor. It was a like, no sex is allowed up there. It's a quiet, it's like soft lighting. It has like plushy, like pillows and things you can like snuggle up in. It's like soft music and like no sex is allowed to happen in there. That's like where you go if you want to like decompress or get away from all the fucking for a minute, right? Like it's nice to have those rooms with like specific intentions.
Yeah, that is cool. One thing, so did you, one thing I noticed like after going to a lot of the parties for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months, we started meeting other couples and other people that were always throwing their own sort of private parties. And then we kind of got into this new social circle of cool couples and cool people that were hosting private sex parties all the time. I hosted like my 32nd birthday party was a sex party, which was a pretty interesting party. Had a, first sort of unintentional bi experience at that party. I was I was like lying on my back getting a blowjob from my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend, and another girl. And
wow.
Yeah. So
I've only gotten a blowjob by two women at the same time, never three all at once. That's impressive.
It was, well, it was like, you know, we're going to give you a birthday blowjob. And then
love it.
And then another girl came over. No, sorry. There, two girls were blowing me at the same time. And then the third one came over who was my ex-girlfriend. And so I'm seeing like two girls heads in front of me. And then the third girl came and she was like, "Hey, can we give you a birthday blowjob too?" And I'm like, okay. I had no idea who we was, right? I just assumed
okay.
like the three. And then all of a sudden, so now there's three girls heads. And all of a sudden I see my girlfriend like push someone, right? I'm just kind of looking. And then she goes, "Oh my God, Brent was just sucking your dick." And I'm like, "Oh, you mean Jamie's boyfriend?" So that was the third girl who came in, and the we was her boyfriend. And that was like their version of consent. And I wasn't mad about it. I was like, "Oh, okay, whatever." Like, so, but it was just a weird sort of experience, and makes for a funny story, of course, but it goes back to what you were saying about consent, mm-hmm. right? Because they were, obviously he was bi and he didn't know if other people at the party were bi. Sure. And it's like a tough conversation to have. I guess they probably would have been better off just like asking people like, "Hey, who are the bi people?" Because I think she was there, you know, she didn't really give a shit, but I think it was one of his like first sort of sex parties. And so she mm-hmm. was like trying to get him to hook up with another dude.
And isn't that sad? Because one, that you know, again, this is the society we're still living in where like if you're a bi guy, like you'd have to be like, "Hey, touch, why can't you just go and like, why can't they ask you just like any other chick might ask?" And if and the worst that happens is you say, "No, thank you." Wouldn't that be great? If he, and then also it's like, isn't it does speak to like the rules of that party. Cause like, I wouldn't be freaked out if like I was like doing some sort of blindfolded scene and like I consented to X, Y, and Z. And like, maybe I said, "Hey, you can bring people over to blow me. I don't want to feel any facial hair," whatever. But like, if someone asked me and they feel like they've tricked me, I would feel violated. I would feel upset. Like I wouldn't be like pissed and like, you know, start like gay bashing or anything. It's just be like, or queer bashing. It's just be like, "Yo, like that's not okay." Like it wouldn't be okay if a woman who I didn't know came over and started blowing me without asking in that party environment. Cause like that, it's like, I thought we were all trying to do this thing where we ask first and get permission. Cause I know I'm doing it. So I feel like you got to do it too.
Right.
But it's also sad to me that party didn't feel inclusive enough that like he could just ask or they could ask together.
Yeah, that was probably, well, we weren't really expecting, we weren't expecting anyone that wasn't like normal, straight, hetero, not to say normal isn't other things, but you know, we weren't expecting anyone.
It's okay.
Yeah, we weren't expecting anyone who wasn't hetero. Right.
Right. But and that's then, again, like with bisexuality, you don't know who's, it's like, it's, you don't know who, cause it, you know, if they're bi, you don't know if they show up with a chick, you think they're straight, but they might not be, they might both be queer and they're together.
Right.
That's part of like the invisibility of bisexuality where like, you know, an opposite sex couple may show up and you assume they're straight, but they might both be queer or one of them is queer. Right. So, you know, and it shouldn't matter because I got to imagine like if you knew that guy was bisexual and she was going to bring him as a date, I got to imagine, even though it wasn't intended to be a queer party or you didn't intend to play with him, I got to imagine you wouldn't say, "Oh, you can't bring him because he's bi." Because like, well, he still wants to come and fuck the women too. So what does it matter, you know?
Yeah, and I'll for I know there could have been other guys there that were into that too, but yeah, we just it would have been much better obviously if we knew ahead of time.
Yeah,
but it was all fine. Like I didn't make a big deal of it and didn't give a shit. No one really gave a shit. And then I think he did end up like hooking up with one of the other dudes, and they played. So great. Everyone had a good time at the end of the day. the best part about that story, I feel a little bit bad saying this, but at the time you could buy these Bed Bath and Beyond California king size mattress toppers and you could return them with no questions asked. So we bought four of those suckers and we put them, you know, in the master bedroom and we had, I mean, the biggest bed anyone's ever seen. And then we went to return them the next day. And as we're like giving them back, there was a used condom dangling off one of them and they still took it back.
No, 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 no. Somehow, like, not quite. Robbie, you got to clear the condoms first.
I thought I checked for everything, but apparently
was
not.
It you? Will you say used condom?
Oh, yeah. It was like stuck to like the bottom of like where the tag was, and it somehow somehow slipped past the inspection.
I get it if it was like a condom that was being used but not completed in, right? You know, sometimes you go through maybe like a couple in a session or something, and maybe one got lost. But the one you finish in should be the one you're most conscious of. As soon as, look, I don't care if it's a sex party or it's one-on-one. When you come in the condom, when you take the condom off your dick, it goes to a trash. You do not put it aside to throw it out later.
I don't think this one was actually like finished.
Thank fucking God, because those people, I can tell you, are not getting paid enough.
No, definitely not. No, if it was
finished, raise the minimum wage, everybody.
So if anyone's listening from Bed Bath & Beyond, you should discontinue that offer. But anyways, getting back on track. So tell me more. You've brought different dates to sex parties. Yeah. And then have you met and like gone to other private parties? Usually you go to Hacienda. What's kind of transgressed with your life in terms of like sex party going to? Cause I, from what I've heard, there's a lot of different shit going on in New York City.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, it's like, once you kind of get your foot in the door for one, then there's all sorts of, you know, random.
Well, what happens is you meet people at one party, they tell you about a different party, and then you try out that party. Somebody invites you to their little private soiree. What, you know, that it just kind of, it's not like, oh, one unlocks it all, as much as you just start meeting those people. Thing is, you already know people in your personal life who go to sex parties. You just don't know that you know that they go to, right? So I imagine if you know a friend who goes to sex parties, that friend will probably recommend you to other ones without you having to go to one. But since you don't know who in your life goes to sex parties, going to a sex party is a great way to find out about other sex parties. Hacienda was my first proper play party, and it was exactly what I wanted. It's exactly what I needed. I mean, that was the vibe and tone and community I needed. So like, I don't go to a lot of different parties. There are plenty of communities here in the city. Some of them have themes, like some are kink parties, some are queer parties, some are swingers, and like they're couples only. Like there's all sorts of parties. And then there's ones that are just kind of more open and free, like a Hacienda. But I really kind of only go to Hacienda. I've gone to others. They've been fine. I've been to little private things where so-and-so rented a hotel room and they're inviting like a few couples over or some friends over. Or I've been to someone's apartment, like, you know, an ex of mine, she had a friend who had this like huge, like kind of loft, and him and this other guy lived there who go to Hacienda. So they would host parties. So Hacienda has parties like 100 to 200 people, and they would have parties of like 20 to 30 people. So yeah, I gone to other stuff, but I really consistently go to Hacienda. It's really the vibe I enjoy.
Nice. And so when you brought dates there, it's usually their first time, I'm guessing.
For the most part, it's their first time with group sex. Sometimes they haven't been to Hacienda, but they've gone to play parties. They still have to go to the consent workshop, but you know, yeah, when I bring people, it's usually their first Hacienda.
And what typically happens when, you know, have you seen any like patterns or trends when you bring a date versus like how long it takes them to kind of feel comfortable or acclimated to it? Mm-hmm. Any sort of patterns in terms of like what you guys get into there?
I think it depends on the date. Like it depends on her and depends on the night. Mm-hmm. I have had ones where I had one woman I brought, we hadn't been dating. Like we met for a drink once to see if we click enough to bring her to this sex party. We clicked enough, like we made out, and then I brought her to the party. It ended up being too overwhelming for her. She left after about like an hour and a half, but I stayed the rest of the party. I think I fooled around with someone. And then I've had ones where it was like fucking bananas, bonkers. It was great. I've had ones where like we meet another person or other people to play with together. I've brought them to parties where we don't actually do too much there, but we take in the vibe and then we go home and we fuck. I've had all sorts of experiences bringing dates to parties. My concern is always just making sure she is comfortable. She feels safe. She knows that like, she is my priority that night, that like, I'm not going to bring her to an orgy. And then like a couple hours in, like we fuck. And then I just ditch her and walk around by myself to fuck somebody else, to let her know like, hi, we're there together. Unless we set up something otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you ever had the situation? Cause I've had Burning Man a couple of times. Burning Man it sounds a little bit like Hacienda, except the consent is like really lacking.
It kind of can go camp to camp. You know, some camps might set it up, but others don't. So if you go in for, it's kind of like gun laws in this country. It's like, yeah, you go into one state, it's one set of rules. You go in another state, it's a whole different set of rules. So you don't. Yeah,
totally. Where I like went to the sex party with a girl, but then she just basically disappeared. And then, you know, I was like, okay, cool. What do I do now?
She like a partner of yours, or was just someone like you had met and you went with her to it?
No, she was a partner. But she kind of had her, we sort of had like a miscommunication in terms of like what was okay and what wasn't.
How'd you feel when she left?
Oh, horrible. Yeah. It was like the worst thing ever. Cause I was like expecting one thing. And then she basically like went off with another guy and like did like what I wanted to do with him and like excluded me. And I was like, yeah, this sucks. This is about the worst thing I could, you know, I could think about what could happen. So, you know, those are definitely like I've, you know, cause you think as a guy, like I remember before I got into the world, I was like, oh, this is amazing. Like, this is like, you know, all my dreams of like, you know, sex, all you can eat buffet. But then you have these experiences happen where you just get like, you know, totally train wrecked where you weren't expecting. And you're like, ooh, well, that's kind of the downside of the sex party. I think it forces you to deal with your jealousy issues. That's for sure.
It definitely requires all that communication. Cause like,
exactly.
I would like to think that if the communication, if there wasn't a miscommunication and she knew that you didn't want to be abandoned at the orgy, I would like to think she wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, well, that was like the, I mean, there were many red flags, but that was the big one when that happened. I was like, okay, because it wasn't just a miscommunication. It was just like, I'm going to get really high and pretend that, you know, I didn't know what was happening sort of thing.
Oh, that sucks even harder. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was rough, but it was a good learning experience. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, those are kind of the interesting, and I've had, I mean, that year at Burning Man, I think I had that happen. Then another thing that was like close to that, which was, you know, I wanted to leave one of the orgies with the girl who was like a girlfriend. And she was like, no, I want to stay. And
were you like tired and you wanted to go home?
Yeah, basically. But she was also, I mean, she was also like totally tired. And like the only, I think people were doing DMT. So she was like wanting to stay to do the DMT, but there was like just way too many like, you know, unsavory characters there. And I didn't really trust the situation. I didn't feel comfortable with her staying, but she wouldn't leave.
Sure.
So I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll go back to the RV and then come back later. And it was just like, you know, not a good scene in there. So
that's why it's just so important to, it's, you know, talk beforehand, set up what your expectations are, your boundaries, to set some rules and to stick to them. Like,
yeah,
my girlfriend and I, the party I brought, we went to a party a couple months ago and we set up a rule beforehand just because it was her first time and she was newer to things. I just thought it would be simpler and easier and be less anxiety. We agreed to not play with anyone else at the party. This party, because as we learned from Jefferson, there's always another bukkake.
Right.
So, you know, she clicked with this other chick. And at one point she asked if I want to play. And I had to remind her, like, I think we should really stick to the rule we had, even though we both, like, I wanted her to fuck around with this chick. And hopefully she wanted to hook up with me too. And like, I was down and she was out, but it's good to just stick to it. So that way no one feels like any pressure, because you don't want to bring it up, because then the other person's like, oh gosh, am I going to say no because I don't want to, and then ruin your thing? No, we don't even ask because we set up this rule. And if we realize, oh, I was definitely comfortable having a threesome with you and this other woman, after the party, maybe the next day, we say, when we like kind of debrief it, we can say, wow, like I really wanted to hook up with her. Like I did too. Would you have been comfortable? Yeah, I was definitely cool. Next party, let's make space to play with others, or what, however we want to configure it. But as soon as you start trying to like set rules and change them at the party, it's like a not fair scenario, because now someone has to be put in the position to be the party pooper. And that's not fair, you know?
Yeah. And that's tough. That's such a good point. It's like, if you're going to have a rule, you got to stick to it. Mm-hmm. And you know, what about in the situation where both people want to break it, but that's still tough because
because somebody still has to broach it. You would have to both simultaneously look at each other in the eye and be like, and both know like, yeah, let's go. Let's fuck this woman together. Otherwise somebody has to broach the topic, and that person is now putting the other in an uncomfortable, potentially uncomfortable situation. Look, it's great when you're right. It's great if you break the rule by proposing and then the other person actually is game. Like I actually was game, but I also wanted to demonstrate like, hi, like I follow rules and I like rules to be followed. So even though I do want to fuck this woman and you right now think you do, I would rather say no thank you this time. Debrief with you tomorrow. And if you still tomorrow are like, yeah, I definitely still would have wanted to fuck, great. Next party, we will fuck that lady. Or like I ended up reaching out privately and I ended up like getting her phone number for us for maybe later usage. Great. But like, I want to, for me, the relationship is more important than sex at this sex party on this one night. So to keep this, to protect the relationship, I want to follow this, because I would hate to like, you know, I just don't want to get thrown around at me. And so it's like, oh, well, you said we weren't going to do it. And then we did. I'm like, bitch, it was your idea. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to get into that fight. So let's just follow the rules we set up, because there's always another party.
And that's so important, because as you said, if you put the having fun now before the rules of the relationship or before the integrity of the relationship, you know, you jeopardize that entire relationship. And I saw a bunch of relationships fall apart, like the couple that I mentioned, those, you know, those tough stories, plus a million from other people I've seen in the community fall apart because they, you know, they had a rule, someone broke the rule, or, you know, they didn't stick to the rules and they jeopardized everything. And then, you know, it was all because they had to have this one moment
right now,
follow the rule. Right.
Yeah.
They didn't follow the there's always another bukkake rule.
You can always,
if they just would have had that, you know, it would have been a different story. Cause it's like, you know, you're in the moment. Of course you want to like, you want to hook up, or there's this sexy thing in front of you and you want to go there, but at the expense of, you know, the person that trusted you to like stick to the certain rule.
Or think about, you know, safer sex. You two agree. Okay. Like let's say we're fluid bonded and we go to a party, and you know, maybe we stated again, but if it went without, unless it went without saying, but like we will fuck other people with condoms. That's the rule going on. And then we're having a hot threesome, and the third person said, you know, wants to not use a condom with whomever. And they say, no, it's okay. I've been tested this time. That's all well and good. And even maybe one partner says, okay, I'm comfortable with that. But we agreed before the party as a unit to use condoms with other people. So it's okay if you want to propose, hey, that person we hooked up with last night, they mentioned all their STI tech. I feel really safe about doing that. How would you feel about that if we hooked up with them again? And that's a more appropriate time, not when people are turned on and there's loud music and it's pretty dark. That's not the time to like renegotiate your safer sex contract as a couple. You could say, oh my gosh, that's so awesome. I love that you get tested. We get tested too. Cool. But like, we're going to use condoms tonight. That's what we do. And then the other person should be okay with that. But as soon as somebody's like, well, what about you? Now you're the one who has to be like the party pooper. And that's nobody wants to be the party pooper. So don't put people in the position to be the party pooper and say, we had this agreement. I would like to follow it. Because that's never fun. It's really more fun to have your boundaries set and to have your boundaries respected. And then later, at another time, you can bring it up and try to renegotiate, but don't do it in the moment. That's shitty.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's great advice. Do you have any other advice for, you know, other dudes who want to kind of either get into that world and they're not either sure how to broach it, or maybe they're, well, first question is, like, let's say you're a dude, you want to get into the world, you got an invite to a party and you want to bring a girl that you're dating, or you want to bring a girl, who would you recommend bringing and how would you kind of go about asking her to come?
Mm-hmm. I do want to say, I know I'm giving advice, you know, I just have to clarify, I am just a comedian with a fuck show. So you can take what I say with a grain of salt a little bit, except for the whole like consent stuff. Definitely ask first. But so just with that small caveat, because you're asking, I will say you want to bring a girl. Okay, well, like if you have a romantic partner in your life, especially if you are monogamous to her, you should definitely first think of her. She should probably be the first and only one you ask. That's the commitment you have, right? And even if you're non-monogamous, look, unless there's like a special occasion, like, oh, I want to bring my friend Liz to an orgy. She's never been one and it's going to be her birthday. And even then I would go to my girlfriend. I would say like, hey, look, there's a hacienda on this date. It's this friend of mine, this fuck buddy of mine. It's going to be her birthday. She's always wanted to go to one. I'd like to bring her. And how would you feel about that? Or would you feel better if you came as well or something like that, right? But I would start with a romantic partner in your life if you have one. Then I would go with like a pre-established sexual partner, preferably one who maybe has expressed any kind of vague interest in that. And you just say like, hey, I thought there's going to be a sex party. I think I really want to go. Would you want to go with me? And then you can start that conversation. And then you can also just go. I mean, if they allow single men, which again, if they don't allow single men, I wouldn't go to that party, not just because I'm not allowed, but because like, I wouldn't go there with a partner because it makes me feel like the single, it just makes me, I just always get nervous when someone's trying to control a ratio, because controlling a ratio is only thinking about the men who fuck women having enough women to fuck.
Right.
Cause like when we talk about control the ratio, it's never like, we want to make sure there are enough dicks for the women. Right. We never think that. So I'm always weary. But yeah, I would say go with someone that you're already hooking up with, especially if you've never done group sex before. You will feel more comfortable with someone you already have a connection with than someone you just met at a loud environment. That's my take. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't like bring a Tinder date that you've never met to a sex party unless you both have been to sex parties, enjoy sex parties, and want to like go get a drink or have dinner and then go to a play party together. I wouldn't do it for the first time. Most likely, I already alluded to, I've done it before once many years ago and like didn't work out well. And I'd rather go with someone I know, but yeah, don't propose on Bumble to go to an orgy as a first date. Not a good move.
Don't they have dating apps for that anyways? Like, or something at least closer. I think Ashley Madison, do they still have that app? That's more like an affair app.
But I mean, yeah, look, if you want to hire
that's, you know, something
seeking.
Like that.
Well, actually, you know what? I'm happy you brought that up, because that actually is a very valid option that I did not think of, which is, yes, if you want to go to a sex party, the goal is you want to go to a sex party and you don't know someone to ask. You can very much so hire a sex worker to go with you to that party, whether you have a sugar baby or if it's like you are hiring someone for the night to come with you. You know, if you find the right escort, like, and you explain, hi, like, this is what I would like to do. If you're nervous, tell her that you're nervous. Tell her, like, I've always wanted to have sex in public. I'm a little nervous about it, but I would love to go. Is that something you offer? Is that something you're open to? I would not require that you fuck other people. I understand that might come with extra costs, but like, is that something we can do where I can take you out to dinner and take you to this party and compensate you, and you can help me have sex at a sex party for the first time, which is the ultimate goal. I think that's a very valid option. And some people do it. You can totally do that.
Yeah. I think that'd be a great, you know, route to take for if someone.
And I'd rather bring an escort that like I arranged with beforehand than go to a party that has escorts there. And now I'm already nervous. I'm in a group sex environment. I'm alone. And now I also have to like conduct a business transaction and then get aroused enough to even fuck. I'd rather have taken care of all the business shit before we even got to the party. So we can then just enjoy the party and almost forget that I hired you.
Yeah. That sounds like a fun date. you know, and I think the key part was you want to control your anxiety or your nervousness. Like if you're nervous, you're not going to have a good time. And if you're anxious about these situations happening, sure, you can hire someone. You can find, you know, a sugar baby on Seeking. And mm-hmm. I'm sure there's a gazillion girls on there who would love that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Easy to figure out, I would think. And then you just need an invite. So
yeah,
that's where you got to know someone. But
knowing yeah. someone, but also another a way to do that if you don't know someone, a great way is and this doesn't work out very well for the guy who's like super horny and just trying to like get his nut off because it requires like non-nut steps. But like go if you don't know anyone
nut thirst.
Yeah, right. So it's like, okay, if you don't know anyone who can invite you to a sex party, and I would not recommend just Googling sex party and picking whatever shows up because it's probably going to be gendered and mixed pricing and like maybe not, right? So I would recommend there's like some communities you can tap into, and via those communities, you can find play parties. Kink Worlds. So if you go to like a Munch is like a non- play meetup for kinksters, and they hang out and they talk about kink and they talk about parties. They meet other kinksters. It's like a kinky social event, but they're not doing the kink there necessarily. So go to a Munch, because you know what? Kinksters know where there are sex parties. Mm-hmm. They might more know where there are dungeon parties, but again, this is all in a similar world. So you find one, you find the others. If you can go to a polyamorous meetup of some sort, a lot of, not all poly people go to orgies, and not all people at orgies are poly, but there are a lot of poly people who go to orgies, and a lot of poly people who go to poly events go to orgies. So if you go to a poly event and you socialize there, and I mean, don't go around like being, hey, how you doing? I'm Billy. Where's the fuck party at? I mean, like sincerely go and make new friends, sincerely go and try to make some connections, and like actually just meet people with good intentions. You will probably find your way to a play party or know where to go. I mean, those are the two communities I really would encourage tapping into because like they are tangential to sex positive play spaces. Mm-hmm. I would not recommend your local swinger club, because like I can't guarantee your local swinger club has like good consent policies, and they do tend to be pretty heteronormative and pretty couple centric. Even if you're at a heteronormative party, I don't want to be at a couple centric thing if I'm not in a couple.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it's been really cool to get your take on this, because you've definitely come at it from a much different angle than, you know, what I've been used to with what you said, the heteronormative, you know, swingers party, that sort of, you know, inroad to it.
I met a girlfriend at a play party where like she was blowing me, and next to me was some guy, and he was getting blown by another guy. And like, everyone's like, if that scene can't happen at a party, I don't want to be at that party. Not because I'm into getting blown next to guys who are blowing each other, but because like, if those guys can blow each other, then that means like everyone here, like everyone is welcome here.
Right.
And if everyone's welcome here, I'm welcome here too. And I want to feel welcome. And so I want to be where everyone's allowed to be.
Yeah, no, it's a much more welcoming, fun, sort of cool vibe.
Definitely. Yeah. Now we're the owners trying to fuck your girlfriend.
Exactly.
The owner of the couple who runs Hacienda, I don't think I've ever seen, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school, because I think it's a nice thing to say. I don't think I've ever seen Andrew trolling for pussy at Hacienda. It's his party. People know it's his party. And I feel like he respects that power position where he's not walking around like, hey, it's my party, suck my cock. I don't think I've ever seen him do that. I don't think I've ever heard of anyone accuse him of doing that. And I think that shows like that's good leadership. And I think good leadership leads to a good party.
100%. Yeah, if he was doing that, there probably wouldn't be a Hacienda for too much longer.
Exactly. That's why so many party communities, they don't all have very long lives, because the owners, you know, the parties that have been around the longest are going to be the safest, and they're going to be the ones with the chill owners, because like we're in an era where like if you're someone who's just like throwing an orgy just so you get to fuck a bunch of young pussy, word's going to spread and people will not want to go to that party for much longer, and then you won't have a party.
Right.
Hacienda has been around. I've been going there since 2014, and they've existed since before that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, they've got, that's a long time for something in that industry. That's for sure.
Yeah. I've got friends. I've got friends who I've never seen in the real world. I have friends who I only see at Hacienda, but I've known them like 6 years, 7 years. Yeah.
Wow. Sounds amazing. Sounds like a good time. Well, dude, thanks so much for coming back on the show. Where can people find you and check out your podcast?
Yeah. So I do a sex and dating show. It's called The Man Whore Podcast, a sex positive quest for love. So you can find, you can listen to The Man Whore Podcast wherever you're listening to me and Robbie right now. Just search Man Whore. That's me. I'm on Twitter and Instagram. Just search Billy Procida. I show up. That's P-R-O-C-I-D-A. And you can follow my free OnlyFans at onlyfans.com/callmebilly. Especially if you dig a dude in a jock strap. Got some new jock strap content coming out.
I love the jock strap idea. Fucking awesome. Dude, thanks so much. It's been great.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.